Now in the next four verses, we get a deeper understanding of the first word with which this Upanishad starts. The Upanishad starts with the word Isha. In fact, the whole Upanishad is called Isha Upanishad, because the very first word is Isha. Isha means the Lord, Ishvara. Who is this Ishvara? To whom we have to renounce everything. And by renouncing to whom, we can truly enjoy the world. Now in describing this, there are startling statements. Because this reality, this Isha, this Ishvara, is of a very peculiar nature. Let us read it. Verse number 4. One unmoving that is swifter than mind. That's a very startling statement. It is in self unmoving. And yet it is swifter even than the speed of the mind. Actually, mind is supposed to be swifter than even the light. In physical terms, light is the speediest in the physical universe. But even speedier than light is the movement of thought. But that Isha, even though he does not move, he is swifter than the mind. See, it makes a startling statement because it's a statement which is not understandable. One who remains unmoved is like a riddle. One who does not move, and yet it is swifter than the mind. Then, that the gods reach not. Now there is a new concept now introduced here. There is Isha, who is the Lord, but there are gods who are supposed to be superior beings than human beings. Isha Upanishad has the knowledge of those beings who are called gods. Our modern mentality does not accept gods at all. It only speaks of man and humanity because that is all that we see. It does not accept God, does not accept soul, does not accept God. Neither God nor gods nor soul. These three statements, these three words are for modern mind quite foreign. But this Upanishad seer, the Rishi, he has the knowledge of the gods. In fact, the entire Veda, of which this is the last chapter of Yajurveda particularly, describes the discovery of the gods. And of that I had spoken at length last time. The Vedas have made a discovery of the gods. Apart from the discovery of God, it discovered God, it also discovered gods. And said that the gods are personalities of one God himself. God is one, but he has many personalities. And each personality can be called one of the gods. And then the Vedas give so many descriptions of these personalities. And at one time I had spoken of all the gods, and not all but many, many gods, like Agni, Indra, Varuna, Mitra, Aryaman, and many other gods. So many personalities were discovered by the Vedic Rishis. They had come in contact with them. They had dialogues with them. They had learned from them. They knew the secret of them. And these secrets have been written in the gods. It is true that modern humanity may not accept all this and may see it is all superstition. Fine. If today the whole world comes to an end by a nuclear explosion, and a few individuals remain afterwards, and then these happen to tell their children the stories of the modern world, that there were trains and there were aeroplanes, they will never believe that such things could ever happen. Similarly, if we are now told that our forefathers had come into contact with the gods which have been described in the Vedas, we may not believe it at all. But so what? The Rishi is not barred from telling us what he has seen. Since he has seen the Rishis, he says, since the Rishis have seen the gods, he says, the Rishi says, that even the gods do not reach him. That the gods reach not. For it progresses ever in front. However much the gods may run to arrive at that reality, the Isha is always in front and can never overcome them, overcome that reality. Not that that is running itself, it says that standing, that always remains standing because it is unmoving. That standing passes beyond others as they run. They go on running and he remains standing. And yet they never reach him. In that, the master of life establishes the waters. Out of that reality, waters stand for different strains of this world.
You don't understand this water.
Water is a symbol of the Veda. Any movement of consciousness is called waters in the Veda. Thoughts are called waves of waters. Even this matter is called water because it's a movement, it's a current. As now modern physics tells us that this matter is nothing but atoms, and atoms are nothing but electrons and protons and neutrons, and they are nothing but electric movement. So even this matter is called a kind of a water. The life which is pulsation, that is also a water. Mind which consists of thought is also a water. So the whole universe, which consists of various strands of matter, life, mind, all that emerges out of that. Matrishva is the life.
Dadhati.
Dadhati means puts.
Puts, not gives.
No, dadhati means puts. So it says, in that the master of life establishes or puts the waters. That is to say, it is the life force which is given the function of manifesting all the aspects from that, from the reality. In the first verse we were told that Isha is the Lord of all that exists. Now we are told that all that exists is a manifestation of that. Not only is the Lord, but all that is here is coming out of that reality. All multiplicity, pardon? Apaha means waters. Apaha means waters. Tasmin means in that. In that reality, Matarishwa, the life force, Apaha means the waters. Dadhati means the establishes. Life force has been given the function of manifesting all the movements of the world. Water stands for, as I said, strands of the universe. All the matter, life, mind, all that we see around is the waters, symbolically. So life force is given the power to bring out from the reality all that is there in the world.